All right, everyone get ready because today we are going deep on multicolor injection molding. You
Ooh.
know, all those cool plastic parts with like multiple colors like woven together.
Right.
We're gonna figure out how to make them perfect. We've
Awesome.
got all sorts of stuff here from like experts and case studies,
Yeah.
even some patent filings about the future of this tech.
Cool.
We'll look at a specific example so it makes sense.
Okay.
Imagine you're making like a two-tone phone case.
I like it.
And we'll use that to see how each step can like make or break the design.
Yeah,
Makes sense.
it does. Yeah, I think using a real example like that is so much better than just talking about the theory.
Exactly. So multicolor injection molding, it's not exactly a walk in the park.
No, it's not.
Our sources are full of examples of things going wrong.
It's kind of like a roller coaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you get those uneven color blends, or layers that just peel apart.
Oh, like a bad sunburn?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's flash that messes up the lines, and don't even get me started on when the product shrinks and ends up the wrong size.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a lot that can go wrong.
Yeah.
But the good news is,
Yeah.
we're not just going to focus on the problems. We're going to figure out how to solve them,
I like it.
step by step.
Sounds good.
And the most surprising place to start might be the materials themselves.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, you're telling me there's more to picking the right plastic than just like grabbing my favorite colors?
Yeah.
I thought that was the fun part.
Well, it is fun, but it's also about how those plastics will behave when you mold them together.
Okay.
It all comes down to material compatibility.
Material compatibility, what does that even mean?
So imagine you've got your phone case, right? You want like a vibrant red for the top and a cool blue for the bottom. But if those plastics don't get along, you might end up with the red bleeding into the blue,
Yikes.
turning your cool design into a muddy purple mess.
So it's like mixing oil and water.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just about colors.
Okay.
Some plastics just naturally bond together and make a seamless transition.
Nice.
Others, they want to stay separate, and then you get those layers peeling apart.
Ah, stratification.
Exactly.
So choosing the right plastics is like putting together a team.
That's a great way to think about it.
They got to work together.
Yeah. So, how do we know which plastics will work as a team?
Right, good question.
That's where those material data sheets are super helpful.
I've seen those, lots of numbers.
They tell you all about the plastic,
Okay.
like its melting point and how it flows, and even how much it shrinks as it cools.
So it's like a personality profile for each plastic.
I like that.
And just like with people, some personalities clash.
Exactly. So you got to play matchmaker a little bit.
Find those plastics that get along and avoid any drama during the molding process.
Exactly.
This is fascinating, but we've got to consider how the pigments behave too,
Oh,
right?
yeah, definitely.
So it's not just adding a drop of red and hoping for the best. We got to understand how the plastic and the pigment interact.
Right, it's a whole chemical dance.
Okay, my brain is doing the tango right now. But this is just the beginning when it comes to choosing the right materials, right?
Oh, yeah, there's more.
Like what?
Shrinkage.
Shrinkage? What does that have to do with it?
So as the plastic cools inside the mold, it shrinks a bit.
Okay.
But
You got
different plastics shrink at different rates.
Oh.
Now imagine you've got those precise cutouts for the camera and buttons on your phone case,
Right.
but you didn't account for shrinkage. Those cutouts might end up in the wrong place.
Oh no, so the phone case wouldn't even fit.
Exactly.
So we got to be strategic about color and compatibility, but also shrinkage.
Yes, it's like 3D chess with molten plastic.
All right, so we've got our plastics playing nice, and we've accounted for shrinkage,
Yes.
and our colors are perfect.
What's next?
What's the next hurdle on this roller coaster?
The mold itself.
Hold on, the mold. I thought that was just like a container.
It's way more than that. The mold shapes the flow, the cooling, the final quality.
Wow.
It's like the foundation of a house.
Okay, I'm starting to see why you called it a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So let's break down this mold mystery.
Okay.
What are the key things?
First, we got to think about how the plastic will flow through the mold.
Okay.
Remember, we want a clean line where those two colors meet on the phone case.
Right, we don't want any color bleeding.
Exactly. So the mold needs to guide those two colors of plastic, like separate rivers,
Oh, cool.
making sure they meet exactly where we want them.
So the mold is like choreographing the dance of the colors.
That's a great way to put it.
Awesome. But that's just one part of it, right?
Right. We also need to think about temperature control.
Oh, right, because of the different shrinkage rates.
Exactly.
So the mold can't be too hot or too cold.
It's got to be just right to keep the plastic happy as it solidifies.
So how do we do that?
There's some amazing technology out there.
Like what?
Conformal cooling.
Conformal cooling. Sounds fancy.
It is. So traditional cooling uses straight channels drilled into the mold.
Okay.
But with conformal cooling, the channels follow the shape of the mold.
Oh, wow.
Like a perfectly fitted glove.
Interesting. So instead of those generic channels, we can customize them.
Exactly. And that means faster and more even cooling.
Nice. So fewer defects, shorter cycle times, more efficient.
Got it.
Okay, yeah. So we've got the flow figured out and our cooling game is strong.
Uh-huh.
What's next?
Cavity dimensions.
Cavity dimensions.
That's the size and shape of the space inside the mold.
Oh.
So we got to get those measurements perfect.
Right. I imagine even a tiny difference could mess things up.
Absolutely. If the mold cavity is even a fraction of a millimeter too big,
yeah,
your phone case might be loose and not fit. Right.
So all that work and the phone case doesn't even fit?
Exactly. Precision is key.
And that includes the little details like the cutouts.
Every single detail matters.
No pressure. Right.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a bit of pressure. But luckily, we have advanced machining technology that can handle it. That's good. And computer-aided design helps us create incredibly precise molds.
So we've covered materials and the mold itself.
Yes.
It's like we're building a house. Brick by brick.
I like that analogy.
Making sure everything's perfect before we move on.
That's the idea.
But even with the best materials and a perfect mold,
yeah,
I have a feeling there's still more to it.
Oh, you're right.
Like what?
We haven't talked about the actual injection molding process yet.
The process itself.
That's where the magic happens.
All right, let's dive into it.
Let's do it. So we've picked our materials, the mold is ready, and now it's time to make this phone case a reality.
Time for the action.
Yeah, this is where we talk about process parameters.
Process parameters.
Yeah, basically the settings that control how the plastic flows and cools and takes shape in the mold.
Hmm. Sounds complicated.
It's kind of like being in the cockpit of a spaceship.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe not that dramatic, but there are a lot of variables.
So what are the important ones?
The big three are melt temperature, injection speed, and injection pressure.
Okay.
Melt temperature is first.
Okay.
Think of it like melting chocolate.
I'm listening.
If it's too cool, it's chunky and won't flow.
Right.
But too hot and it burns.
Ooh, yeah, that doesn't sound good.
So we need to find that sweet spot where the plastic flows smoothly and mixes the colors without any damage.
Like Goldilocks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And each classic has its own ideal temperature range.
Oh, okay.
If it's too low, the plastic might solidify before it fills the mold.
So you get like incomplete parts.
Yeah. And if it's too hot, the plastic might degrade.
And that messes up the color.
The color, the strength, everything.
So it's all about balance.
Balance is key.
Okay. What about injection speed?
That's how fast the plastic is pushed into the mold.
Oh, okay.
Think about filling a water balloon.
Okay.
Too slow and you might not get all the water in.
And too fast.
You overfill it and make a mess.
So injection speed needs to be just right. To fill the mold completely.
Exactly. Too slow and you get short shots.
Short shots.
That's where the plastic doesn't reach all the parts of the mold.
Oh, okay.
But too fast and you get uneven colors.
Like a tie-dye phone case.
Exactly. You want those colors to meet in a clean line.
It makes sense. So injection speed is about filling the mold and keeping those color transitions sharp.
You got it.
What about injection pressure?
That's the force that keeps the plastic flowing into all the little nicks and crannies.
Oh.
Too little pressure and you get gaps.
And too much.
You could get flash.
Flash.
That's extra material that oozes out.
Oh, right. And messes up the clean line.
Exactly. So injection pressure is all about finding the right amount of force.
Like squeezing a tube of toothpaste?
Perfect analogy. Enough to get everything out without making a mess.
It seems like everything in multicolor injection molding is about finding that balance.
That's the key to success.
Finding that sweet spot where everything works together.
I like the way you put it.
But with so many things to balance, it sounds like a lot to keep track of.
It definitely can be.
Especially if you're just guessing and checking.
Right. You adjust something, run a batch, and see what happens.
And then adjust again and again.
It's a slow process.
Is there a better way?
There is.
Only more.
Imagine a system that monitors everything and adjusts things automatically.
So like a robot that makes sure everything is perfect.
Not a robot exactly, but pretty close.
What is it?
Advanced monitoring technologies.
Oh, wow. High tech.
These systems are like having tiny inspectors inside the mold.
What?
They watch everything that's happening.
Amazing.
And they collect data in real time.
What kind of data?
Temperature changes, pressure fluctuations, even how the plastic is flowing and mixing.
So we can actually see what's happening inside the mold.
Exactly. If the plastic isn't flowing right, the machine can adjust the pressure automatically.
That's incredible. So we can prevent problems before they even start.
That's the goal.
This is blowing my mind. And you said it goes beyond just monitoring.
Yeah, these systems can analyze past data to predict when equipment might need maintenance.
So we can avoid downtime and repairs.
Exactly. It's like having a car that tells you when it needs a tune-up.
This is really changing the game.
It's a whole new way of thinking about multicolor injection molding.
So what does this mean for the future? I feel like we're just getting started.
You're right. This data-driven approach is going to transform how we design and make multicolor products.
So we'll be able to make even more complex and intricate designs.
Absolutely. The possibilities are almost limitless.
And it's not just about looks, right?
Right. We can make smarter, more functional products.
Smarter products.
Imagine embedding sensors right into the plastic.
So products that can monitor themselves.
Exactly. Or products with different properties in different areas.
Whoa, like a phone case that's both tough and soft.
Exactly. We're really pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
So what other innovations are out there? What's got you excited about the future of multicolor injection molding? So many possibilities. Sensors, smart material. It's like science fiction.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But are there any innovations happening right now that are pushing the boundaries?
Oh, definitely.
Like what?
There's one that's really interesting. It has to do with material compatibility.
You mean finding plastics that work well together?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
We've always focused on finding compatible plastic.
Right, to avoid those color bleeds and layers separating.
But what if we could ignore those rules?
Ignore the rules.
What if we could mix materials with totally different properties?
Like what?
Like a hard plastic
Yeah.
with a flexible rubber all in one part.
Wait, wouldn't that be a disaster?
You'd think so, right?
Oh.
Like mixing oil and water.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
But there's a way to do it.
Really?
It's called multi-material injection molding.
Multi-material injection molding. Okay.
I'm intrigued.
It opens up a whole new world of design possibilities.
Like how?
Remember our phone case?
Yeah.
Imagine a case that's hard and protective on the back, but soft and grippy on the sides, so it's comfy to hold.
Oh, that's a great idea. So it's not just about looks anymore.
It's about using different materials to make products work better.
Exactly.
But how do you get those different materials to work together?
It's a bit more complex. You
Okay.
need special molding machines with multiple injection units.
Multiple injection units.
Each one can handle a different type of plastic.
Oh, wow. So it's like having multiple nozzles, each with its own plastic.
Yeah, and they all work together.
Like an orchestra of plastic.
I love that analogy. And just like a conductor, the machine controls everything precisely.
Making sure the different materials are layered and blended perfectly.
That's right.
So, what are some examples of products that use this technology?
There are tons. Toothbrushes with hard handles and soft bristles.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Athletic shoes with rigid soles and flexible uppers.
Cool. What about beyond consumer products?
It's huge in automotive and aerospace.
Why there?
They need lightweight, strong components with integrated functions.
Like what?
Think of a car door panel that's light, but has a built-in impact zone.
That's amazing. So what's next? What's the future of this technology?
The future is bright. New materials are being developed all the time.
Like what?
Self-healing materials, shape memory polymers, even plastics that conduct electricity.
Whoa, hold on. Self-healing phone cases? That would be awesome.
It's not science fiction anymore.
This is mind-blowing. It seems like we're at the beginning of a materials revolution.
And multi-material injection molding is leading the way.
This deep dive has been incredible.
It's been fun talking about all this.
We've learned so much about materials, mold design, and all these cutting-edge technologies.
You covered a lot of ground.
When we started, I thought multicolor injection molding was just about injecting different colors.
Huh.
But it's so much more than that.
It really is.
It's about precision and innovation and pushing the limits of what's possible.
And making products that are not just beautiful, but also smarter and more sustainable.
So, to everyone listening out there, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep pushing those boundaries.
That's what it's all about.
Who knows what amazing things you might create?
The possibilities are endless.
That's a great note to end on.
It has been a pleasure joining you today.
And to all our listeners out there, keep learning and keep diving deep.